The Kate Daly Show, where telling the truth is now a revolutionary act. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were all meant to shine as children do. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same, as we are liberated from our own fear. Our presence automatically liberates others.
Great speech. That was from Coach Carter. It's a great speech. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. It's a Friday show. I actually have Uncle Milty with me today. How are you?
Good.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Happy?
No, but I'm good.
Are you ever happy?
Sometimes.
No. Sometimes? Well, that's nice. Well, welcome to the show. Go to katedalyradio.com. You can get all the podcasts. Of course, listening to newscasts all over the country today and the color codes, I'm sure happy they Sesame Streeted this for everybody and gave us color codes for whatever color we're in by state because it makes it so easy to understand. Doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
A big giant color? My gosh.
I like that.
I feel like I'm 3 years old. It's yellow today. You can go out and play. Oh, how fun. Mm-hmm. So anyway, welcome to the show and happy that you're listening from whatever a corner of the globe you're listening from. And Canada, we never forget about you and listeners all over from California to New York. In California, I'm really sorry you're being made to wear masks now, 3 months in. So sorry. Anyway, we're going to bypass politics for a moment. What we're going to do today is I want to talk to this particular guest, and I've been wanting to talk to her for years because I've been following her for years. I feel like I know her. And let me tell you what a story and what inspiration, because I actually learned a lot reading her posts as she was in an experience that probably a lot of us are not going to find ourselves in. And I asked her to come on because I really want her to talk about what she learned from this experience and how she got through it, because I think that the resiliency factor is something that we are going to have to incorporate into our lives to a certain degree. And we're going to have to understand how to get there and how to do this and how to make it through tough things. And so I am so excited to have Portia Lauder on. How are you, Portia?
I'm great.
I'm so glad you're. I'm really glad you're on with us because I want to hear from you what happened and what your story is and what you learned, because I think the most important part of your story is what you learned about yourself and what you and this experience and how it affected you. There's a light about you, and I told you this in a message because I do every time I see a photo of you, it almost makes me want to cry because I see this light. You're just so full of light, and I have to say that to you because I don't see that in a ton of people all the time. So I think
that's a compliment. Thank
that
you.
Is
I
a,
appreciate that.
That is a huge compliment because it is. And that's all you. That is really neat. Portia, tell us a little bit about your story. What happened to you?
Okay. Well, I had a photography business for years.
Mm-hmm.
And when the real estate market got hot, mm-hmm, in 2004, 2005, I started investing in real estate.
Sure.
And it really wasn't long after I started investing that the FBI came in and started investigating. And at first, you know, I thought, well, I'm doing what everybody else is doing. I'm, mm-hmm, you know, I went to attorneys, talked to attorneys. A lot of it was equity pulls on,
mm-hmm,
homes.
Okay.
So, you know, it was definitely gray. And I mean, to be perfectly honest, I remember the first time somebody described one of these deals, and,
mm-hmm,
I thought, oh, why would you ever do something like that, you know?
Yeah.
But as I got,
sure,
further into investing, I started buying and flipping, and there was just a huge demand for it. And
right,
so I was an investor in the middle of a lot of these deals.
Mm-hmm.
And as the investigation continued, which is a nightmare,
mm-hmm,
just,
sure,
so you know.
Oh, I can only imagine. Years, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's, mm-hmm, no fun. It,
yeah,
was years, right?
Yeah.
I, you know, for a long period of time, I thought, but there's people doing a lot worse. There's this,
mm-hmm,
there's that. And I fought it. And in time, I think that they first started coming around 2004, and I was indicted in 2010,
mm-hmm,
for real estate fraud. And then in 2014, I was scheduled to go to trial. So,
wow, that's a long span.
And it was a long span. Yeah, it was. And that was, I had not intended to plead guilty at that point in time. I mean, looking back, there's a million things I would do different.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
One of the things that I would focus on myself. I would just mm-hmm. own my part. I wouldn't worry about the fact that banks did this or they did that or any of that. But that took me years to learn in prison, that sure. the empowerment comes just in taking responsibility for the choices that you made and not focusing on what everyone else is doing. So
right.
But at that point in time, you know, I'm like, these politicians, mm-hmm. these people, they mm-hmm. think this, you know, and, but I actually had a pretty harrowing experience. I was at the Salt Lake Federal Courthouse mm-hmm. and the U.S. Marshals, there was a guy in the courtroom next to us and they ended up shooting him.
Whoa.
And that day, I was the only one that ended up outside the courthouse. I was just there for a hearing. Uh-huh. And when the news asked me what happened, I said, well, this man was shot several times. Well, that wasn't something, you know, my attorneys called and said, look, now you've got them so angry at you.
Oh, no.
They want to make a press release. They don't want you doing that. And so the next day they had me come back up to the courthouse and I was put into custody.
They took it out on you a little bit. Wow. Ouch.
A little bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, and especially at that point, I was so, I was getting ready to go to trial. I was extremely stressed out and mm-hmm. I ended up just pretty much breaking down. You mm-hmm. know, it was just overwhelming sure. and scary. And, but anyway, so
I can
happened.
Only imagine. That's a lot of years of going through that. I can only imagine that one would finally have a breaking point. Yeah.
Yeah, at a certain point it was. But, mm-hmm. you know, so I ended up pleading guilty. Mm-hmm. I was held in custody for a few months and went through some pretty awful experiences. And my attorney, the day that I pled guilty, they had threatened to do some things that I just said, at this point, you know, if I plead guilty, will they just let me out of custody? And so I pled guilty, got out of custody, and then I had about 6 months until I was going to be sentenced.
Okay.
And my attorneys were, you know, look, you'll probably, I mean, it was a 0 to 7 mm-hmm. year plea. That's what I had pled to.
Right.
And, you know, I knew I made mistakes. I mm-hmm. told my attorneys, I said, look, I know that, you know, I made some mistakes. So we got to figure out what's reasonable. And my lawyers were like, oh, it'll probably be a year. You know, even that seemed
sure.
completely impossible.
Right.
I thought, how am I
right.
going to leave my family? I'm a, you know.
Yeah, you have a lot of kids.
Yeah, I have yeah. children and I'm also mm-hmm. kind of, you know, we depend on me financially. And mm-hmm. there were just so many factors that just seemed impossible. Not to mention the fact that it's kind of an identity crisis. Like,
yes.
wait a second, you know, I'm going to prison. And
sure.
The day that I was sentenced, it was a surreal experience for me. The news was there. Mm-hmm. And when I walked up the courthouse steps, somebody asked me about it. And I said, I did do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know,
right.
and they said, well, is there a chance that they're going to take you into custody today? And I said, I don't think so. Because, mm-hmm. you know, I don't pose a threat and mm-hmm. I'm not a flight risk. And so I think I'll get some time to self-surrender. And when I got in the courtroom, I could feel it, and I knew it. I don't know how to explain a courtroom except
right.
that it's super sterile. It's
yes.
sterile.
Okay.
It's not
sure.
a place you want to be.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, just
it's scary.
Don't go there.
Well, everybody's deciding your fate. I mean, and not you. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's mm-hmm. not a good, it's, you know, and my family was there, and mm-hmm. I stood there. I looked back at my family, and I thought, what have I done? I think that was it was just so overwhelming to me, the feeling of regret and sadness.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, he's mm-hmm. going to give me the maximum amount of time. And up to that point, that did not seem realistic, but I knew at that point that that's what was going to happen. I could feel it.
And so what did he give you?
He gave me the maximum amount of time. So it was a 0 to 7 year plea, and mm-hmm. he gave me the 7 years.
Wow.
So that... Yeah,
so did you, were you in shock? I'm sure you were in shock. That's the dumb question. I know you were in shock. Did you walk away thinking, well, I'll plead deal. Like what's your next move? You know what I mean?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. No, Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't. I think at that point, my heart just broke. Mm-hmm. I think at that point, it just, I looked at my family, and it seemed surreal to me that they were even, as I listened to the prosecutor and then I listened to my attorney, mm-hmm. I thought, I wonder why they're even having this conversation.
Right.
I mean, it's already set the mm-hmm. direction that they're going to go. So
sure.
I don't, it just, it, I was in shock.
Okay.
And
wow. So you
it, yeah,
you get into this situation where you're, I'm sure your first couple of nights were a very bizarre experience. What hit you first? What hit you first that you were not expecting?
You mean in prison
uh-huh.
or before I went?
In prison. In
well,
prison.
Well, okay. So I think what hit me first, and I'm grateful, I got 8 weeks to self-surrender. So before I even went to prison, I got time with my family. And
oh,
I'm
good.
Grateful for that because not
good.
Everybody gets it.
Okay.
So my life changed at that point. I appreciated every simple thing with my children
mm-hmm.
before I went.
Mm-hmm.
And then my husband drove me to Dublin, California to self-surrender for a 7-year federal prison sentence.
What a hard drive. Oh, gosh. I can't
yeah.
imagine.
Yeah. It was, I think, as hard as it was for Chad to take me, the hardest part was saying goodbye to my kids.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm sure.
That was, my little girl, my youngest was 7 at the time, and my mom came over, and my mom just said, I can't watch it. You know, she took the kids, and she just drove away, and she's like, I can't watch you say this. Just don't say goodbye. We'll get him there to see you. You know, it was just,
mm-hmm.
it was tough. And when I got to prison, there's a thing about prison. It's like hard to be open with your feelings.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
So, I was just beyond devastated. I think, you know, I woke up that first day and everybody's wearing khaki. There's about 1,000 women on the compound.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no color. It all looks the same. And
wow.
it's just overwhelming. It was just so depressing.
Yeah.
And I thought, I don't even know how I'm going to make it a week, let alone 7 years. Like, this is, there's no way.
Well, you wouldn't know. I mean, who do you talk to? Who, I mean, you don't know what prison life's like. You don't know what you're up against. You don't, you hear stories or you see movies or you have these experiences and you might think a couple of things or assume a couple of things, but
yeah,
I'm
right.
sure that it was, when we come back, I want to hear what that first month was like. Then I want to hear how you got through this and what you learned about yourself. We'll be right back. More with Portia, my special guest, Portia Lauder, and Uncle Milty. Be right back. Don't go anywhere on The Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is The Kate Daly Show.
Blame's the one before. Come beating on your door.
All right, welcome back. Happy Father's Day to all of you good men out there. I really want you to know how vital you are and necessary and critical you are to our lives, and thank you for everything that you do out there in supporting your families and everything else. And I always like to highlight men on the show to make sure that you understand how much we appreciate you. I've got Uncle Milty. This is the Kate Daly Show. You can go to katedalyradio.com. This will be turned into a podcast, and you can share this. Also, go to balanceofnature.com. This is a supplement I love. Balance of Nature's awesome. 31 fruits and vegetables every single day. You're going to get all those nutrients, and they even have an amazing drink that goes with it, full of vitamins and minerals to level your blood sugar and everything else. This is a supplement you need, and you should have it in your cupboard at home. No matter what happens in the fall, as you're worried about your immune system, get balanceofnature.com. Use the promo code Kate, my first name, and you can actually get 35% off and free shipping. It's an amazing deal. So make sure you take advantage of it. Go to balanceofnature.com and put in the code Kate. We're visiting with Portia Lauder. She spent time in federal prison, and this was a white collar thing. This was her experience. Let me just tell you, I followed her for a long time, really reading through her wonderfully written posts that she made about her experiences. And I was really inspired by her, and I really wanted her to come on. So I'm really grateful, Portia, that you're on. Welcome back.
Thank you, Kate.
You bet. In fact, we're going to launch in, but, you know, just kind of think of this, and I don't mean to be grim, but is there a future where we might have patriots thrown into prison, where we might have people that are speaking out and trying to speak truth and can't and are dealt with in this way? Could that happen? Yes. Could we find ourselves in this situation? So Portia's situation isn't totally unique to her. I mean, this could be anybody for a lot of different reasons. And this is why I think it's so important to listen to what you have to say, Portia, and what you learned. What was the first bit of time as you walked into federal prison? I can't imagine going, oh my gosh, I got 7 years ahead of me. But what was that like? What hit you at first when you first were in this experience?
Well, the first 2 weeks were devastating. I mean, mm-hmm. I really just was overwhelmed with sorrow.
Depression?
And mm-hmm. just feeling like I can't do this. You know, I remember after about 2 weeks, I thought, you need to get yourself together.
Wow.
I mean, yeah. I tried it to myself going, this is not working for you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I started slowly venturing out. They put you in when you first get to prison, you go into kind of they call it A&O, but it's kind of to acclimate until you find a room. And so my roommate was like, this isn't good. You're depressed. You need to get up. And I just said, go away. Right. I need you to leave me alone. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk. I don't want, you know, I just was really devastated.
I can't imagine.
And I don't think that I really, and a lot of people don't in prison, wrapped my arms around the fact that I was going to be doing as much time as I did.
Mm-hmm.
You always hope, you know, the law will change. I mean, I had an attorney at the time that was working on my case. You always hope.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that that is the best way to do time either. You know, you mentioned, could you be put in prison as a patriot?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, once you get involved in the criminal justice system or once you get involved with the government, you realize it's different than you think.
Yeah.
You know, for example, I mean, I spent a year in Dublin, California, and I was put in the SHU, which is the special housing unit, because of my blog, just because I was writing.
Wow.
And
so did they look at that like a good thing or a bad thing?
A bad thing.
A bad thing.
Like that.
Okay.
Right. And so, and then, you know, they kept me there for about a month, and they can do that. And, you know, you're just under investigation. So they never did find that I had done anything wrong, but they chose to do what's called an administrative ship. So they shipped me to Waseca, which is in Minnesota, which was further away from my family.
Jeez.
It ended up being a good thing for me because Waseca was, I spent a lot of time really meditating and, you know, just found mm-hmm. myself.
Right.
And so it was a good prison, but nonetheless, you know, once you get involved, there's just things that happen that don't make sense.
Politically,
and the more that you focus on those things.
It's like very political is what you're saying. Like, you take a step this way or this way and they want you to do certain things and do it their way. And so you can't step out of that at all, I'm sure. Right.
Right. Mm. So, but you know, I guess some of the things that surprised me was that there's so many people locked up for so many years. And a lot of them are just poor. I mean, they're poor.
Right.
There are people it's a melting pot. Prison's a melting pot. You've got, you know, a lot of Hispanic. You've got mm-hmm. a lot of Black. Some white. It depends on the prison. But I wasn't in a camp the first 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I did the last part of my sentence in a camp. But I was kept at an FCI because of my blog, which is a higher security prison. It worked out in my favor because I met so many amazing people and I'm grateful that I did my time that way. But still,
right.
you know, you can get really caught up on the injustice.
And
use your energy. In my opinion, you know, once I quit focusing on those things
mm-hmm.
and I started focusing on, okay, I have this time. What am I going to do with that? How am I going to empower myself? I started reading and then, you know, listening to people's stories and working through my own things and taking full ownership of my life and recognizing that the power that would come by owning the choices that I made and to rewrite my story. Like, what am I going to do with my future? You know, I started to look at that instead of what, you know, so much time has gone by. What have they done? What have they done? Instead of that, it's like, what can I do? What am I going to do?
Did you see a lot of, did you see people mistreated? Because we hear a lot of horror stories. I've talked with people from prison, in prison, and there's a lot of horror stories there. And I can't imagine, I can't imagine seeing that. Did you see that? Did you encounter that?
I think that prison is not so bad. I really don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of great officers. Men's prisons are a little different,
sure.
But county jail, oh yeah. You know, you're going to get, I mean, I had my face slammed into a wall and drug, you know, my clothes taken from me in a county jail. Like they could pretty much do what they want when you're in a county jail. That's not a place you want to be, and you better shut up and let them do what they're going to do.
Jeez.
You know?
Jeez.
So that's not a good place to be. And there's people that work there that probably need to get some help. I mean, in all honesty, you know, I work at a treatment center,
sure,
and I'm like,
yeah,
they probably need to get a little bit of training.
They should not be in that job.
They should not be in that job. You know, but in prison, I found a lot of good staff there. I mean, there's always those that aren't. And women, again, female institutions are different than male institutions, but prison's just different than everyone thinks. It really is. Like, there's such a sisterhood. We all kind of help each other out, and you get to know people, and it's just not, like, I see these things on TV, and I'm like, I have met so many amazing people. So, I don't know. Everyone thinks it's us versus them. The criminals are them. It's not so much that way. It really isn't.
Right. And and what about gangs? What about, you know, are there certain groups you wanted to you know, get in with and not, or stay away from right away?
You know, it's so funny that you say that because I was such good friends with everybody. I mean, I had one girl that was just like, she was pretty like imposing, you know, and she said to me, she's like, Louder, I got your back anytime. I'm like, listen, I really don't need you to have my back. You know, I got this.
Right.
So, I mean, there are people that, you know, but she was also like, she had done 20 years. And she'd done, people just do a lot of time.
And that's her way of confirming your friendship is, I got your back.
Right?
It's true.
And I knew, like, I got your back means, and she was true to her word. Like, anybody mess with me, I'm like, I don't need you to clear my way. I got this.
Yeah, we all need friends like that out here. So, so I can't even imagine what was, and so what were some of the things that surprised you? The food, the loss of freedom, I mean, how much time did you get out every day?
Well, I mean, you operate on moves. So the thing about prison is you want to find a job that you can, you know, I found a job that was meaningful for me. Mm-hmm. The money wasn't important to me, but I worked in an office helping girls with reentry, and I worked down by the rec so I could go outside whenever I wanted.
Oh, nice.
So, I mean, you find what works for you. I worked in education when I first got there, and I taught people basically how to not focus on what the government was saying and focus on themselves, like how to empower themselves and change your lives, you know?
I bet that
was my passion.
Well, it must have helped you to teach that so that you could do it too. Like, you're doing it and then you're teaching it at the same time. It probably made it more impactful, right?
Yeah, because I think once I realized, I mean, honestly, you know, you go in there feeling sorry for yourself, but at a certain point, I came to realize how fortunate I was. Wow. I was like, oh my gosh, I have family that supports me, that loves me. I have an education. I have so many things that many of these women don't have. And for generations, they haven't had, you know, and they're trying. They're trying to learn and they're trying to make changes. And we just don't really understand that kind of a struggle. I didn't. And so
you wrote about this the other day. You wrote a story about a gal that was just born into the worst circumstance, had everything happen to her, and then she's trying to pull herself out of that. And I bet that was incredible to watch that, because you're right. We're not, I mean, living in a suburb or whatever, you know, you're just not around that. You just don't encounter it.
Yeah, you have no idea. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had no idea. And so, you know, and a lot of white people that go in for white collar have, I mean, the in a way, you think, I'm not a criminal. They're criminals. Right. We're not criminals.
I see.
And
sure,
once I got to the point where I thought, oh, my gosh, like, actually, maybe, you know, I'm worse. I mean, maybe I'm worse because I made decisions, you know, in to make I made the decisions that I made with a good upbringing, with a good understanding, with a supportive community.
That's interesting.
And I still made a decision to break the law.
Right.
And so I'm here because I deserve to be here. And a lot of these women never, you know, they didn't have that kind of upbringing. And they're trying so hard to change. And they have very little resources. And so at that point, it's like, what can I do? How can I be of service?
Yeah. And what an introspection. Holy cow. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
I learned a lot from the women there. I really did. I found strength in ways that, I mean, I just learned so much and felt truly honored in many cases to be friends with the women that I met in prison.
Wow.
And
was it
so like I was?
Go ahead. I want you to go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I feel like I was so blessed. You know, I was so blessed to have this experience and meet people from all different cultures and all the different experiences that they had, to be able to take that kind of time and focus on myself, to read and to study, to meditate, to pray, to really come to know myself and make changes. You know, what a gift that was.
Yeah. And what a powerful gift to be able to say that while you're there in it, because to mean that, because if you're going to mean that, say it, mean it, my gosh, I mean, you had to have a complete, 180. I mean, it had to be a total change.
It was a change.
Oh my gosh.
You know what it was?
What's that?
It was one day I realized, okay, so I'm gonna
stop you right here. We're gonna go to a break really quick, and I want you to come back and talk about that. Hold on just a moment, and more with Portia Lauder and her story coming back. This is the Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com. Be right back.
Balance of Nature, changing the world one life at a time.
When I first started Balance of Nature, I was hesitant, but 2 months into the product, I began to see the difference. And I have to really admit, I was totally surprised. I went from swelling feet to no swelling feet. The 1st of May was the first time this year I jogged in 3 years. And not just jog 3 laps, I did 17 laps. So I'm feeling alive and not sluggish and tired. I would really like to say, you have to try it, so you can see the results for yourself. Even my girlfriend downstairs, I said, you need to try it. She says, I'm thinking. I said, okay, well, while you're still tired and I'm still beating you up the block, it's okay. Because that's all I'm gonna do. I mean, she's taller than me and I move faster than her now. That's because the energy I'm getting from Balance of Nature.
Balance of Nature is now offering 35% off on any new preferred order. Go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code KATE.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Here comes the sun, I say, it's all right. Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter.
Hi there, welcome back. Kate Daly Show here. And just taking an hour off politics, as we do often on this show, where we have to or we'll go crazy. I welcome you back. You're listening to the Kate Daly Show. This is katedalyradio.com. You can get the podcast of the show like you can every day, and surpassing 1 million. Thank you. 1 million listens. I'm so happy about that. I've got Uncle Milty here. Make sure you go to the Kate Daly Show page on Facebook. I'm going to be uploading letters about that you can actually download and print off, that you can take around with you so that you do not need to wear a mask. And so I'll give you probably 3 or 4 different letters that you can have in your arsenal, and make sure that those are on you so that you can bypass that, the craziness that's going on from wherever you're listening from. That will be on the Kate Daly Show page on Facebook. You'll be able to see that this afternoon. I welcome back Portia Lauder. I'm so happy that you're on with me, because what a story. And you said something that was so striking. We were just chatting, and how free, how much more free you feel now. Even before you even went to prison, you feel more free now, because we were talking about how I can't imagine not having an ounce of freedom, having everything just, it's gone, and you don't have a say about. I mean, did you feel like you had a say in your life? I mean, what was that like?
Well, and I think the people confuse freedom and liberty. We have liberty in this country, and that is cherished. Mm-hmm. It's valued. It's important. But a lot of people imprison themselves, me included, before I went to prison. So, you know, finding that freedom within yourself, you know,
how do you
coming
do
to
that?
Know yourself. Well, okay, so I'm going to tell you, for me, it was a process. I had an experience when I was about 2 years in prison, and I was in a process group, and mm-hmm. it was kind of a counseling group. Mm-hmm. And a young woman came in who was, she had that light about her. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I really want to get to know her, you know, but she was just quiet, doing her own thing. And then she tried to kill herself. So she went, you know, which is traumatic. It happens in prison. It happens out here. But she went and got some psychiatric help, and then she came back. And she stood up one day in our process group, and she read a list of everything that she had done wrong to hurt somebody else and took full responsibility for it. So this might sound completely crazy, mm-hmm. but there was so much power in that room when she did that, that we all were in awe. And afterward, the counselor said, what would make you care enough about your future that you would be willing to stand there and own that the way you just did? And she said, because I've tried everything but being honest. And if I'm not honest, I'm going to die. I've got to do something.
Wow.
And at that point, I realized I have got to own my life. Every single decision that I've made, you know, I've got to figure out. I mean, I'm here because of me, because of the way I responded to things, because of the choices that I made, because of the thoughts that I have. And it has to change. And for me, it started with making a list, and it wasn't a little one. It was a full-on spreadsheet of everything that I had done and owning it.
Wow.
And I felt like that changed it for me. That freed me. Now, that sounds backwards because you try so hard to avoid admitting that I made
so
this mistake
true.
Or that mistake. But the truth is, there's power when you say, I did this. I know I did it. It was wrong. You know, at that point, I let my family know, hey, look, it's not the government. It's me. I made these choices. I responded the way that I did. I had freedom to decide, and I chose what I did. And by doing that, I had the freedom to change everything. And that really was it for me. I freed myself by owning my choices.
Yeah.
So.
That would be a, you know, now that you think about it, that would be a freeing moment. And boy, everyone's list is so long. And I wonder if people really grasp that. Everyone's list is long. There's not a person on the planet that's got a three-liner. So we're looking at major, you know, lists of things, right? Everybody.
Yeah, but it's freedom. It really is. I mean, what I know is that the last thing I want to do is be a victim.
Right.
I do not want to be a victim to the government.
Mm-hmm.
I do not want to be a victim to anyone else. And I have the freedom to decide how I respond to everything in my life.
Right.
And that was something I didn't understand. I thought, well, that person did this and they got away with it, or that person did this, or that wasn't fair. No, I chose how to respond to it. And until I owned that, I didn't have the strength and power in my life to make the changes that I wanted to make. And it changed things for me.
I bet.
I'm so grateful.
What about your relationship with God?
Oh, I mean, people say of all different religions that God walks the halls of prison, and he does. I mean, there is nothing that I miss it. I miss that. I would go back if they would let me. I don't know if I would spend the night. I might.
You know? Wow. That's
but
huge
I mean,
to say. Yeah.
Oh, I sat under a tree and I prayed. And I'm a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but I was the only member of the church on that particular compound. I had roommates that were Catholic and Christian and Muslim, and we just, and I had someone ask me, well, what did the church do to help you? And I said, oh, my gosh, we were all sisters. There was no difference. I didn't consider it like that person you know.
You're that religion. I'm this religion. Yeah.
It wasn't. All that disappeared, and we were family. And I mean, my relationship, what I learned is this. I learned how valuable the women that I spent time with were. To our Father in heaven. And because of that, I knew that I am too. And I prayed in a way that I had never prayed before. I suffered in a way that I had never suffered before. But I truly wow. found a relationship that is so precious and valuable.
Oh, my gosh. You're going to make me cry. Okay, go ahead, Uncle Milton.
Yeah, you know, we hear a lot about recidivism in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
You know, I can see by your case it's not something that probably would
yeah.
happen. But
yeah.
But did you find that a lot of this was really sincere from other inmates, or were they just biding their time?
Well, there's like the whole, I mean, there's people that, you know, think it's cool to be in prison. They're doing their time. They're mm-hmm. There's that.
Like
for
bravado.
Sure. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they're, yeah, mm-hmm. like their parents have been in prison. They're,
right.
I mean, a lot of them are poor, and that's just the life that they've lived. And so it's just part of, you know, I'm doing my time.
What
I'm
they
taking
know.
A bullet for so-and-so. But there were amazing women. There were women in there. I mean, people don't know that these stories, you know, that were came from nothing, that had nothing, that were, you know, worked hard. They mm-hmm. have factory jobs in prison that you can work full time sewing or, you know, and mm-hmm. you make like 50 or 100 bucks a month and you pay for your own phone calls and everything else. There were so many women that were way cooler than, I mean, way stronger, way more amazing than I could ever be. Truly,
wow.
that blessed my life.
Wow.
And I would love, I mean, their stories just aren't told enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they really aren't.
Yeah.
So.
I can't even imagine. And so you had this moment and this girl and saying these things. And so from then on, was it just a totally different experience after that?
It was. It was a completely different experience. I sat down with my family.
Mm-hmm.
I told my kids, like, this is me. This is not the government. My daughter was like, Mom, I can't mm-hmm. do this. It's too hard. I mean, it was kind of like, you know, don't hold anything.
Right.
Don't be angry at anyone but me. I made these decisions.
Right.
But from that point on, I found my power and I was able to serve. Like, I had enough of myself that I started setting goals for myself. I started mm-hmm. looking forward to life again. I was very determined not to leave prison a victim after that.
Sure.
It was like, I am not going to leave and feel sorry for myself. And I got tested with that a few times because some things that happened that were unfair, but
yes.
I made my decision. I was like, I am not leaving, giving power to the problem. I'm totally going to focus on myself and the beauty of this experience.
So resiliency just had to be a constant choice all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, there was a time at the end. I mean, let's not underscore here, too. I have, like, an amazing husband who
yes.
loved me and supported
yes.
me through it. But by the end, he was pretty worn out.
I bet. I can only imagine.
I am so tired.
That's 7 years.
You know,
that's hard. I mean, you're trying to keep a family together.
I did 4.5. Mm-hmm. I did every program I could, and I got good time.
Yeah.
And I got some time in a halfway house. So my BOP time was about 5 years.
Okay.
So my sentence was 7.
Jeez.
It was still a chunk of time though.
Right. I can only imagine that, but I think your experience is, you know, there's always things we wonder, and we wonder, you know, how prevalent the gangs are, and can you study anything you want? Can you get a hold of anything you want? Were you
no.
able to do that? To study or
no, I mean,
read?
Well, you can read books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I read and read and read. You can study and read. And most of the teaching is amongst ourselves. Like, we help each other. There's not amazing prison programs. You can't get a college degree.
Right.
A lot of people think, oh, you go to prison. No, it's not like that.
Yeah.
You really are going back to about the 70s as far as any type of technology. You've got very little. But you know what? That was great, too, because I had 4 T-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
I had a pair of sweats and a pair of shorts, and I felt totally free. I was happy. I didn't need
wow.
all the crazy. We have way too much out here.
Yeah,
way
we do.
Too much.
Yeah, we do.
You know?
Oh, that's so true. And you talked about serving others, and it sounds like, you know, is it the prescription? I always feel like it's a prescription for happiness is when you start to get out of yourself then, because you finally came to terms with you being there. And then was it service from there on out that kind of tipped the scales for being happy? Was that?
Yeah,
it was.
And I mean, it was also allowing myself to be served. I mean, I know that.
Oh, yeah.
I was able to serve, but I also opened my heart. And as I served others, I came to love them. And then I mean, they would do so. I had people were so respectful of me. I mean, really so kind and good to me. Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, if I got the treatment that I got, I mean, I had neighbors that were just amazing. So,
so
again,
nice.
I mean, it's just not what people think the whole prison experience is. Wow. Many of the women that are in prison are being more cared for in prison than they have been throughout their lives. They haven't had.
Because of the sisterhood. Interesting.
Yeah.
So, interesting. Because you're right about, I remember reading a blog post or a post from you about having to try to understand how to be served. Because sometimes we just don't think in those terms and we shoo that away, but it gives other people those blessings to serve you. You know what I mean? And I think that's a really powerful lesson, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was.
For you.
Yep. I had one girl that every morning brought me an apple, and that she had nothing. She had no money. She had nothing. She'd go to the kitchen and get an apple, and she go, because I know you love apples. You know, she's so sweet.
Wow. So. Well, I appreciate you doing this because I'll tell you, I think there's so much we can learn from this experience that you had. You know, we always try to have our experiences and tell our and save our kids from all the things we don't want them to do because, you know, I've done this and I've had this experience. And I wish we could share more about these types of experiences so we could understand them a little bit better. And I always appreciate you being that honest about it and saying, you know, like owning it, being honest about it and coming on and even wanting to talk about it.
Well, I appreciate the invite. You're doing good work out there, so thank you for allowing me to.
Thank you.
To
I really appreciate.
Here.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. And also, you know, we have about a minute and a half. Is there anything else you'd like people to know about this experience?
I think I would just say that any experience has the seed of opportunity. For greatness
powerful.
Within it, whatever it is
right.
that you're struggling with, you know, going to prison, I would never want my children to go. I wouldn't want my neighbors to go. But if you are going to go, if you made choices to get there, figure out how to make it the best experience it can be. And that goes for, you know, depression, whatever it is, whatever mm-hmm. your struggle is, we all have the power
right.
within us. To make
that's
you
so
know,
true.
Our blessing.
And even if you found yourself in a situation where you were put in there for nothing, I mean, there are people that are there and if you were
completely
put in there, can
innocent.
You even imagine? And then on top of that, trying to find what you just talked about, find that level of happy so you could get through it. So that you could just, you
right.
could endure it well because there's enduring and then there's enduring well. Sounds
yeah.
like you endured it well.
I was just really blessed.
Yeah.
I don't know that I did much, but I was just super blessed.
Well, I can only imagine how many times you got on your knees for that. I can only imagine what a powerful thing that was in your life and in your family's life. I mean, you've had this amazing experience. And like you said, you feel more free now than you ever have in your life.
I do. Yeah.
Wow.
I do.
That's powerful.
I love people, but I'm not mm-hmm. too worried about what anyone thinks anymore. So that's pretty freeing in and of itself.
You know? What? That is gold. That is gold because we live our lives really worried about that. Isn't that the truth?
Right?
Portia Lauder, thank you so much for doing this. It's a great hour.
Okay.
Really appreciate you.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. You take care. Yep.
Oh, boy. Well, I'll be right back. We'll be right back. We've got a podcaster author coming up about a mystery plane crash. He'll be talking about that. And then we invite you to talk about your fathers, your husbands, and talk about those great lessons in life you learned from your dads. And you're welcome to call in on that at that time, too. 888-673-1450. We'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. And a big thank you to Portia.